Hello, this is Chuck Solomon, and welcome to the Candidate Experience Podcast, where we focus on the job candidate journey from apply to onboard and the space in between. Let's get started. You care about the candidate experience. But have you ever wondered exactly how to bring your company to that next level and offer a world-class experience to your candidates? It's not easy. Fortunately, Candidate.fyi can help. Their solution guides candidates through your hiring journey, enhancing transparency and communication at every touch point. You'll also gain valuable insights on what's working and what's not with your hiring process. Best of all, it integrates directly with your ATS. Head on over to candidate.fyi and see how to transform your company's candidate experience today. Welcome to the No News is Bad News episode, where Graham Quinn, employer branding professional, is my special guest. Listen to the insights Graham shares on the topics we cover during our conversation, including candidate experience, employer branding, job-seeking tips, and more. If you like what you hear on this podcast, please subscribe and do share with others. Want to comment, discuss, provide feedback? You can send me a note via LinkedIn or via the contact form on our site, www.thecx.xyz. I thank you for listening, and here's my interview. Hi, Graham. How are you today?
Not too bad yourself, Chuck?
I can't complain, and if I did complain, no one would want to listen. So people don't want to listen to complainers. So people want to hear about problem solvers and stuff. So,
Yep.
So, would you please let my listeners know sort of a little about you and your background and sort of how you got into this sort of industry that you're working in now?
Yeah, of course. I'm a global experience professional specializing in brand strategy, employer branding, marketing communications, and content management developments. With over 4 years in the marketing employer branding space, I'm a brand awareness change agent recognized for delivering high impact growth and increasing reputation in key markets to maintain prestige as a top employer. I really believe in helping companies build a brand and communicating their culture, mission, and purpose through authentic, effective storytelling while improving diversity, equity, and inclusion with the organization. But more in regards to why I chose to get into employer branding, I really wanted to mix my experience in marketing with my passion for people and culture. I really felt that companies didn't understand the impact that employer brands really had on attracting and retaining talent. But it wasn't really until I moved from the UK home that I recognized this was a real career opportunity. And when really that ultimately led me into this industry.
Good stuff there. Yeah, I often ask the same question, like, how did you get into this? And the answers are all across the board. So it seems like you've found something you enjoy. And so not everyone can say that. So, but anyways, so you're in a job search right now. So you're actually, I have three guests that I'm having on. You're one of three that are actually in a job search. Actually, one of the three has actually found a job and stuff. So it's a little bit different. I usually talk to sort of professionals that are part of the hiring journey and stuff and such. So, so you're sitting on the other side of the table, which I'm, you know, looking forward to hearing your perspective on this. So you're in a job search now. Can you talk about any of the challenges that you're facing, during the search right now?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's different now compared to, you know, where we were 6 months ago.
For sure.
Really address that elephant in the room, I think the biggest challenge for me is just competing with thousands of equally qualified talent out there right now due to COVID-19 and the redundancies that came out of that. What we're seeing right now is unprecedented. And I feel that both candidates and employers are really trying to understand how to navigate those waters. It's really hard to stand out in that instance because, you know, there are so many swimmers in the same pool. And with the economy still recovering and going into phase two in some countries and others have already been there for a while, you know, how do you deal with that while competing with others for only a small limited number of roles? And one of the things that I've been working to combat that is by building my personal brand. But that's a double-edged sword, I feel, as well, because, you know, you have some people who are active on LinkedIn and see your content, and then you have others who aren't as much and don't understand how well-recognized you are within the industry. And I think the other challenge I'm facing as well is being burnt out. It's been especially easy for me to get burnt out right now when I'm applying to roles. You apply to one you think you're a great fit for, you spend time crafting your resume, you interview, and then you take time away from job searching to submit projects, you know, often unpaid projects as part of the process. And then you have to keep on top of maintaining your personal brand and networking. And it's something I've often struggled with. I try and take a Friday off every other week, but then you wonder if there's more that you could be doing. And then I'm riddled with self-doubt. And that also comes when waiting to hear back from interviews. Especially when you mix that with being made redundant, like I have for my last marketing role, it can really feel like you're fighting against the tide. You know, you have great ideas and can help deliver an impact, but there are still negative connotations around redundancy. But I think I would like to think that COVID is changing that.
I think some people get it and some people maybe haven't gotten it yet. But mm-hmm. I know, and the US has 40 some odd million. You're in Canada. Do you know what the number is in Canada? How many people were laid off due to COVID?
It's probably about the 2 to 3 million mark right now.
Right.
And we're in our second stage. We just reached our second wave of COVID right now. And, you know, there's governments debating whether or not to go back to previous stages and shut everything down or just to keep certain, just shut certain businesses.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely this health thing that's going around here, which in the US, you know, different states are treating it differently. And some are doing okay. And I don't think anyone's doing it great. Some are doing okay. Some are doing, pretty poorly based when you see, you look at the stats. But overall, there's still a virus that's circulating out there pretty broadly. And I think until there is either a pretty significant therapeutic or vaccine where that's mostly effective, I think that employers and job seekers alike are still going to face this same dilemma and stuff. But I mean, you brought up interesting things. This is an unprecedented year we're in. 2020 mm-hmm. is definitely going to go down as the weirdest year ever, I think. But you add that to trying to find a job. I mean, before March, we had a really hot job market, right?
Exactly.
Before all these layoffs, before things happen, but for a job seeker, you're right. You're competing with a lot more people. There's a lot of people that are great people out there that just they're due to whatever industry or business they are in. If in order for the business to survive, the business had to cut people, unfortunately. So, do you think that say we're a year from now, end of September 2021. What do you think the job market might look like? I'm going to ask you to put on your crystal ball here.
I want to say it's going to be about the same thing, really. You're going to have, depending when a vaccine comes out, you're going to have different companies in different stages of hiring or just trying to retain employees because you have those employees who are working from home and having to manage childcare. And if the whole, if school shut down again, or, employers decide to go fully remote, how do you manage that? So at the same time, you also have, even just right now, you have companies going back to the office in a staggered approach. And then you have others who are saying, we're going to stay home until July next year. And so there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think there'll still be a bit of uncertainty, about a year from now.
Sure.
But I think overall, it's, the workplace of the future is going to be changing, and that's not a bad thing, because in Canada alone, we need to empower women within the workplace. We're at risk of losing 60 years of development and securing women's equal rights within the workplace. And so I think we need to reapproach how we hire and ensure that it's more collective and inclusive, and that we're offering an environment where everyone can thrive in.
Totally agree. I have to point out, you know, a lot of the sports leagues have started, NHL, NBA, the NFL and stuff have started, even in the U.S. college football, in some actually in most of the conferences have decided to play and stuff. I will, I believe it's the NHL who I believe has zero positive COVID cases. So I give that a credit to the health authorities in Canada and stuff, and NHL itself, like, has had no, you know, talk about bringing people back into the workplace. Like, I think this is, I think a lot of folks could sort of learn from what they've done. Now, certainly it's different because, you know, they're in two cities, Edmonton and is it Calgary? So it's definitely a bubble, and companies, you know, that have multinational companies can't necessarily do that. But I think that the NHL has done a stellar job amongst all their peers in the sort of professional sporting world of sort of bringing back their workers and workforce back to work.
Yeah, and I think one of the key points there that like just over encompasses everything is about it's how leadership deals with it. You know, you have some leaders who don't really see, you know, like they don't believe COVID's real, you know, it's just a flu. And then right. You have others who are taking it seriously. So I think at the end of the day, you know, your employees are looking to leadership to see how they respond with it. And I think NHL is just one good example of how they've appropriately handled it.
Yep. I think it boils down to relying on science, which I believe that's what they're relying on. So. Awesome. So if you could design the ideal candidate journey, what might that look like?
That's a great question. I've thought about this numerous times. I really don't know. I really don't know if it's feasible. So I'm looking at it from an outside perspective, the candidate perspective. But I really believe it's about solidifying the fundamentals. I think at the end of the day, like, the fundamentals are just three important tips that I have. The first one is just be transparent, outline what the candidate journey looks like from the moment they apply through each stage of the new process right up to receiving an offer, even if that's just a visual form. I'm a visual learner myself, and that I find is easier. But some companies have even gone so far as providing candidates with a resource guide that includes interview tips, an about us section, and a study guide. And overall, I mean, the more transparent you are, the more candidates appreciate the effort and recognize that, you know, this is going to be a great place to work. Tip number two, this is one that I feel companies should be implementing more, is implement an FAQ section on your careers page that answers some of the candidates' most commonly asked questions. Especially now during COVID, you should be having two separate sections. So one that's just geared towards candidate information in general, and then one more geared towards COVID. So, you know, you answer questions, how the hiring process has changed, and when you can expect everyone to be back in the office if applicable, or, you know, if there's a delay in hiring as well, just making sure you highlight that. And that's great. That kind of goes back into tip number one, be transparent. And my next point, which would be communicate with candidates at all stages in your process, from application confirmation to even if a candidate doesn't proceed further, just then send an email, let them know. But you want to give deadlines as well to when they can hear back from you. I really think this is what candidates most want to see. You know, they're not hearing back from these companies, and that has a detrimental impact on the brands. And even if, you know, the candidate goes to two stages, three stages, and they interview with the company, you really should be offering feedback. But if we flip the coin, why is this happening? Are recruiters not aware of some of the processes in place that are there to help them? Or are they so overwhelmed with applicants that the candidate experience falls to the wayside? And I think it's a bit of both. I think it's more recruiters not receiving the resources they need, but you won't have candidates who see it that way, and that can hurt your brand perception. And that's why I think the quickest way to fix that is to, at the very least, send automated personalized emails at every touch point where applicable. Because in this instance, you know, the old adage of no news is good news. Well, when it comes to applying, no news is bad news, and that's what you really want to avoid. I'd rather have a company respond back to me and it be an automated email saying, you know what, you didn't get the job, or thank you, but no thank you, or we received your application, rather than just being ghosted. And I think that's important because you really want to humanize your brand. And
sure,
that's just really your first step. So I think those are like the three main tips that I'd offer to create a foundation to an ideal candidate journey.
Yeah, no, great tips there. And I think a lot of what you mentioned is more of a process thing. And, you know, we're in a different world here. I wouldn't think that like over communicating would be is never a problem. Over communicating is a good thing. And to your point, transparency is a good thing. But I like what you said about no news is good news. Well, no, not the case in job seeker. No news is bad news. So
exactly.
In the job seeker say, and I don't think it can be that way. It doesn't have to be that way for sure. So I think that there's a growing body of research that is showing that a poor negative candidate journey or experience negatively reflects on the consumer brand, and that companies are actually losing customers by having poor candidate experiences. So I think that, are you familiar with the Candies Awards that are done each year by the Talent Board?
Yeah, I've recognized that, and I know Kevin Grossman over there created the candidate experience or Zeman calculators to really help companies better understand the loss of revenue tied to a poor candidate experience, which I think a lot of people, you know, they see it as an HR issue, but not a company issue.
I think if you get the chief financial officer involved in it, or the chief revenue officer involved in it, and can tie bad candidate experience to loss in revenue, I think you get the C-suite to sort of open their eyes and ears to that. Like, you don't, if you have, you know, if a company posts a position and 300 people apply to it, and it's just one position, one person's going to be thrilled and 299 people are going to be unhappy I guess it'd be better if they're like, yeah, I'm not happy that I, didn't get the job, but at least I'm still happy with the brand because, to your points, the company communicated, they are transparent, they're open about their process. And I think people are okay with a no. I liked your point about sort of feedback, and I think especially giving candidates who have gone through some sort of level of interviewing that they do deserve some amount of feedback other than a sort of the canned auto email saying, sorry, we hired someone else. I would love to see that happen. I'm not sure what exactly the barrier is to that because I think it only goes to, improving a company's employer brand. I mentioned this on a recent episode with another guest. I talked about a company that I'm also in the job search as well. And I was a silver or bronze finalist for a position, and the recruiter didn't have to call and say, they could have just sent an email, sorry, we went another direction, which would have been fine. But the recruiter actually called more than once actually to get me on the phone and actually said, hey, we really liked you, but we decided to go with someone that was local. This was an out of state position from where I lived. And I thanked them up and down and said, this is great. You know, thank you. Now I actually have a reason. Like, I can't really compete with someone that's sitting in the same city that the company's located in.
Right.
Eventually a lot of companies are going to go back to offices. So, I don't blame them. So I wish there was more of it.
Yeah. And I think, you know this just as well as I do. At the end of the day, we're not expecting a lot. We just want, you know, it's just like clear communication and transparency. I mean, if you look at Glassdoor, how many people are writing negative reviews because the company was overly transparent or overly communicative? You know, it's the opposite effect. People are writing reviews because they're not being transparent or they're not communicating the process. So.
Yeah. I like that other point you made about the FAQ on a company's career site, or even the job advertisement as well, to sort of spell out, here's what the process looks like. I've seen some good examples of that, and if I can locate them, I'll definitely include them on the session notes. And if you can think of any as well, send them to me, Graham. I'll include them in the notes in this episode. So both job seekers and the folks on the other side of the table, the hiring folks, can see sort of, you know, what that looks like. Cause I think there are some good examples of that out there. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't really take that, you know, that long. I ask, if you ask any recruiter I've ever talked to in my job search, I ask them, what does the hiring journey look like for me? And they, you know, when asked that question, the recruiters on the other side are able to sort of talk through. And a lot of them have said, you know, great question. No one's really asked me that. And I'm like, well, I kind of want to know, like, what are the next steps? What can I expect? What is the general time frame for that? I mean, I think it's a simple thing to ask, and it goes to your point of transparency and communication. What advice would you offer of other folks that are currently seeking a new job?
In terms, I think what I have to offer as advice, it's not groundbreaking, but I think it's a bit more practical. And I would suggest, you know, be kind to yourself and persevere. Know you're worth it and your skills are valued. I think it's especially hard when you're often faced with constant rejection or doubt after waiting to hear back about a role you've interviewed for. It's especially demoralizing then, and those who are employed and are interviewing candidates can often forget how it can feel. They may never had face redundancy, or they never had such a long gap in their job search. But it doesn't mean how they treat you is intentional. I think that's important to remember. And as equally important, take care of your mental health. I know I've struggled with this quite a bit during my own job search. You know, you can have the lowest of lows on some days and the highest of highs on others. And I would suggest others who struggle with this to find what brings them joy and spend time doing those activities. Seek professional help if and when you can afford it, because, you know, especially in Canada, therapy is only within reach for those who can afford it, or seek out free resources where applicable. And my second piece of advice would just be to try and build your personal brands. I say try because as much as it is important to build one, it's having another job upon itself. You know, you have one full-time job, and that's job searching, and then building your personal brands is just another full-time job upon itself. And, you know, you don't get to see any real value out of it when you're first building up. In the first 3 to 6 months, it takes time. And between applying to jobs, prepping for them, interviewing, you know, building a personal brand can often take a backseat. It's a lot of work, and perseverance is needed, but the benefits can prove monumental. And I think the one last tip I have, I personally found the resources of Self-Made Millennial has been especially helpful for those who are job seeking. Madeline Mann puts a lot of great templates, and it's not just geared towards millennials. I often feel that anyone within the job search process can use those resources, you know, from ways to follow up with an interview or after you're waiting to hear back, to what to say, to behavioral questions. She provides a lot of great resources to those who are job seeking, and I've often used them myself, and they've proved invaluable to me. But I also see her approach as, you know, she's not criticizing job seekers for doing one thing less than they should be, but it's just more of a holistic approach of, you know, here's what to say when you're waiting to hear back, or here's how you can get your resume noticed. So yeah, I would say those are my, I guess, essentially like three tips that I offer job seekers.
Yeah, good stuff there. And, you know, groundbreaking, you know, maybe we should reserve that word for, like, you know, the company that comes up with a COVID vaccine or something. That's groundbreaking, right? Like,
exactly.
Practical, I think, probably should rule the day here. And I'll definitely include a link to Madeline Mann's resources and stuff, so folks that are job seeking and listening to this can sort of access that and maybe glean some tips that'll work for them. But I think you're right. It is sort of what works for you. And you know, taking care and being kind to yourself is important for sure. And I do think, or maybe this is the optimistic side of me, thinks that people on the other side sort of get it. Like, when they say, are you currently working? What's your situation? And you say, well, you know, I lost my position along with a bunch of other really great people, because the company I was working for had to eliminate my position because they're in survival mode. I think more and more recruiting folks are getting that. And it's not it's not something that's been looked on negatively before in the past, as it has been today. No one could have foreseen what happened, and it was still happening. And so I think they're empathizing more, or I like to think that they're empathizing more with that. So for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope so as well. But I think earlier to your point, I mean, it's not just about just job searching with that time you're looking between jobs. I think it's also important to be recertifying yourself in different skill sets or staying on top of industry news so that you can bring those insights to the table in your interviews. But I mean, I do hope that a lot more HR professionals are starting to empathize with us, because it, you know, it's not easy. There's a mental, it hurts you mentally, physically, emotionally. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. It's not easy for anyone to be in a job searching position.
Yeah, agree. Totally agree. Well, Graham, I think there's great stuff. I appreciate the tips that you've shared here. Always enjoy talking with you. If people wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do so?
Yeah, definitely. So if anyone wants to get a hold of me, whether, you know, just to connect and hear more about my thoughts, or just, you know, another job seeker, or even just people interested in looking at my resume or CV, I'd be happy to invite them to connect with me over my LinkedIn. I think that'd be the best way.
Gotcha. And that's Graham Quinn. Just search on LinkedIn to find that.
Correct. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I thank you for your time and insights today, and hope you have a good rest of your week.
Thanks for having me today, Chuck. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Candidate Experience Podcast. You can reach out to us via our website, thecx.xyz. That's thecx.xyz.